our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a period of time in my young life when it seemed very dangerous to take a stand. It seemed like young, charismatic leaders were being shot and killed with regularity. The feeling I had was captured by a song on the radio by Dion called Abraham, Martin, and John. The lyrics went like this. Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good, they die young. You know, I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good, they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good, they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Didn't you love the things they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? And we'll be free someday soon. It's going to be one day. Anybody here seen my old friend Bobby? Can you tell me where he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over the hill with Abraham, Martin, and John. The song memorialized a sad time in our history, the untimely assassinations of Abraham Lincoln in 1865, Martin Luther King Jr., April 4th, 1968, John F. Kennedy, November 22nd, 1963, and Robert Kennedy, June 5, 1968. It seemed during that time in 1968, with the memory of John Kennedy's assassination only one presidential election away, and the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy only 2 short months apart, that it was very dangerous to take a public stand. I have you know, I wrote this sermon before the events of this last week. And I guess it makes it even more timely. I hope we're not entering another time of attempted assassinations and assassinations of public leaders. Let us pray that that doesn't happen. But the danger of speaking truth to power isn't limited to those stormy years, is it? This month, we celebrate the independence of our country from England, demonstrated by the Declaration of Independence signed on July 4th, 1776. However, that declaration was only the start. Many brave persons spoke out and died as a result of their beliefs. Many of those patriots were Presbyterians who had left England for religious freedom. The only pastor to sign the Declaration of Independence was John Witherspoon, a Presbyterian. As one historian puts it, when Cornwallis was driven back to ultimate retreat and surrender at Yorktown, all of the colonels of the colonial army, except for one, were Presbyterian elders. It is estimated that more than one half of all the soldiers and officers of the American Army during the Revolution were Presbyterian. As our forefathers understood, taking a principled position can exact a cost. Again, song lyrics come to mind to illustrate this point. Freedom is a word often heard today, but if you want to keep it, there's a price to pay. Each generation's got to win it anew because it's not something handed down to you. There was a general by the name of George with a small band of men at Valley Forge. Left the comfort of home for the cold and ice. They won independence because they paid the price. To some people, freedom is waving a flag. To do your own thing is another man's bag. But every man's freedom's the eternal quest, free to give humanity your very best. Freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. You got to pay a price. You got to sacrifice for your liberty. Freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. The reason Presbyterians were willing to stand up for what they believed in the Revolutionary War was the example they saw in the Bible. John the Baptist was one such example. John the Baptist was willing to speak truth to power. According to our lesson today, John criticized Herod for taking his brother's wife. As a result, Herod had John arrested. Interestingly, Herod did not immediately kill John because, according to verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed. And yet, he liked to listen to him. End quote. John was apparently getting through to Herod on some level, but Herod's wife was not pleased. When she saw her opportunity, she manipulated Herod into killing John. Notice that this story is an example of Mark's use of a story within a story. Mark is using this technique to make a point. This story begins with the question of Jesus' identity. The story of John's beheading is a flashback in Herod's mind as he's thinking about Jesus. Notice also the parallels. John and Jesus have taken on a prophetic role. Prophets are known for making kings uncomfortable. They speak truth to power, causing the king to think. The Bible is full of examples of prophets telling kings things they do not want to hear. Herod has placed himself in a socially uncomfortable position by saying he will reward the dancer with whatever she wants. He would lose face to go back on his promise. Similarly, Pilate placed himself in an uncomfortable position. Pilate offers the crowd the opportunity to either release a dangerous criminal, Barabbas, or Jesus. Pilate thinks they'll choose Jesus, but they chose Barabbas. Pilate, like Herod, would lose face to go back on his promise. Both John and Jesus spoke truth to power. John intrigued Herod, but Herod gave way to social pressure and had John killed. Jesus intrigued Pilate, but Pilate gave way to social pressure and had Jesus killed. What about us? Are we willing to speak truth to power? Are we willing to stand up for what is right, regardless of the cost? Or, putting the shoe on the other foot, how do we react when we hear the truth? How do we react to the prophetic? Do we turn away from our mistakes and toward the right? Or do we take the socially popular stand? Are we willing to pay the ultimate price? The price paid by John, paid by Jesus, for what we believe? Mark places this story in the middle of two mission stories. The disciples have come back from a mission trip where they are to take nothing with them and to allow the people to feed them. If they are not well received, they are to shake the dust off their feet at the edge of town. Immediately after this story, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus does not allow his rejection by the people of his hometown to stop him from his ministry. Jesus does not allow the killing of his cousin John to prevent him from speaking prophetically. Despite the danger and the rejection, Jesus sends the disciples into the mission field. Despite the impending danger to himself, Jesus continues to gather crowds and feed them. Are we willing to follow the examples of John and of Jesus? Are we willing to bear the cost of discipleship? Can you envision the song Abraham, Martin, John is John, Jesus, and you? May God grant each of us the strength and the courage to be the Christian persons God calls us to be. Amen.